I sometimes just shove it up my ass just to cut out the middle, man.
Hello, and welcome to Why Do They Do That? A show where three friends read up and discuss articles that entertain and baffle the shit out of us. Your hosts for the show are Ben, Brendan, and myself, Alan!
Alan!
Don't push me, because I'm close to the edge.
Boys, how's your week been, Brendan Chipley?
Weekend has been good, mate. Thanks. It seems weird because obviously saying how has your week been, but let's be honest about this. We only spoke a couple of days ago, and the weekend has been glorious. It's been sleep deprived because of that fucking dog that we've got. but yeah, do you know what? It's been good, mate. It's been busy at work, which is really nice because obviously the weather's been dreadful. So people flock down to Bacchus, which has been nice. And I've had some good time with the family, and I saw Chris and Pippa yesterday. So that was quite nice.
How are they?
They're really good. I would say that they came around to see me, but they were just interested in the dog, mate. So I think that's all they come around for. I think that's my life now. I'm old and boring, so no one gives a shit about me anymore. How has your week been, Alan Bennett?
Yeah, really good, thank you. What did I get up to? Not a great deal, to be honest with you. It was a bit rainy the one day. And because, obviously, my eldest daughter's been isolating, I've stayed in for pretty much most of it. But I have rediscovered dry roasted peanuts. And let me tell you, what a nighttime snack those bad boys are. Oh, my goodness. Here's me living life just quite, you know, thinking I've got everything until I went to Tesco's and found their own brand, dry roasted nuts. Pop those bad boys in and it is a delight on the taste buds.
This is yeah, the content me. People to subscribe to for.
I don't think there is any other kind of peanut apart from KP, mate. So I know that you like saving money, Alan, but sometimes you just need to splash out on the big boys, mate.
Just get yourself some pistachios.
Oh, yeah.
How expensive are they? Have you tried pistachio ice cream?
Yeah, it's lovely.
It's great.
But is that expensive, is it? It's not expensive for someone like you, though.
straight off.
Does your chef make it for you?
No. We buy the Magnum version.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so you go for the real cheap one then.
Yeah, you know it, cuz. You know it. Anyways, yeah, but it's been a nice couple of days, to be fair. Just busy at work, busy at home. That's about it. How about you, Mr. Benjamin?
A million times better than you guys will ever, ever see or achieve. So let's move on.
You still struggling with club foot there, Ben?
No, I'm struggling with club penis.
You're struggling with club penis, mate. I've seen it. You're not.
I was going to say, it's nothing to do with my appendage. It's this place that's opened up next door to our house.
Oh, right.
It's horrid. It's the sight you see. Absolute ball pit on a Friday afternoon. Anyway, let's move on. Don, you bring the video of Matt Hancock tugging that poor woman, and I'll provide the evidence that I'll never make love again.
So, my story this week, torture device that locks jaws shut to tackle obesity sparks outrage. I mean, it would. The device, known as the Dental Slim Diet Control, has been designed as an alternative to surgical procedures for people battling obesity as a way to kickstart their weight loss journey. On a side note, count me in, bought two.
Getting one upstairs and down.
Research. The Dental Slim Diet Control, developed by teams at New Zealand University of Otago, is a magnetic contraption that uses locking bolts to restrict a person from eating solid food. Professor Paul Brunton, lead researcher for the Dental Slim Diet Control and Pro Vice Chancellor at University of Otago's Division of Health Sciences, Sciences, explained that the device, which is fitted by a dentist, can be released by the user with a special tool in case of an emergency. You know, hot dog vendor, fried chicken, something like that. And can mate, we'd need someone to take that tool away from me because that just be open every day.
It's not as much an emergency tool, more just the key.
Yeah, just the key. He said it represents a non-invasive, reversible, economical, and attractive alternative to surgical procedures. Despite Professor Brunton's assuring that there are no adverse consequences with this device, the women who trialed it reported feeling uncomfortable, unable to speak, and left feeling that life in general was less satisfying. There we go. That's the end.
Oh, Alan, can I go first, please?
Go, please.
Right, two things. The first thing is, hey, scientists, stop wasting your time on stupid shit like this and sort cancer out, please. Second thing is, why wasn't it a varied testing group? Why is it just women?
That's maybe harsh, they're the only obese people in New Zealand.
I don't know. I think that's dodgy, that is.
I don't think he's actually invented anything. It's literally just a couple of bits of wire with a locking key. I think they call it a padlock, to be honest with you. My man's just invented a jaw padlock. And, like, the University of Otago...
Okay. So he's telling us the proper way to pronounce it.
I'm not really bothered about your pronunciation, Alan. I've anglicised it. Fuck you, mate. I also don't say chorizo. I say chorizo, like a fucking human.
Brilliant. But yeah, I can't believe he's getting government grants for what? And if you look at the image that it is, it's literally like just two bits of wire just wrapped around two teeth. The guy's basically making bank off a shit device, man.
I don't need magnets in my mouth. I know I'm a fat piece of shit, and all I need is a bit of self-control, a bit of encouragement. What I don't need are magnets in my mouth.
Oh, I might surprise you both to hear that I'm looking at buying one. Three, at least. I reckon. Them magnets, they're not gonna stop this jaw from opening, mate. No way.
I was gonna say,
put a waffle in front of me. That's getting broken.
How do you drink? How do you? Because drinking water is quite important throughout the day, isn't it?
You don't straw. Open your mouth.
Yeah, you can't because it's locked, so you can't open your teeth.
Your lips can open, and you put straw in there, and the liquid, due to its viscosity, can pass through your teeth quite easily, unless you're drinking steak.
Yeah, but come on, what an inconvenient way to drink liquid. You're thinking to yourself, oh, I've wired my jaw shut. I can't speak. I can't eat. Like, even speaking, like, this isn't a solution. If someone says, if someone asks you a question, the first thing you got to do is find your locking wheel nut, undo your teeth. Hey,
hold on, I've still got a key.
You got to find your emergency locking wheel nut, undo your teeth. If the locking wheel nut breaks, then you've got to get down the mechanics to get the fucking thing stripped. Oh, no.
I think we should buy one for you, Alan. Not for obviously eating purposes, you know, just sometimes so people can get a word in.
Now, let's give Alan his due. He's been good. I think one thing that does bother me is if it is quite a strong magnet and you are in an office environment and there's a fire or some kind of hazard to life, and you've got to tell everyone what's going on, but you can't because your jaw's stuck close. Say there's a fire, and you're like, there's a fire. How are you supposed to communicate?
Well, obviously, that's, you know, an extreme situation, isn't it? That's like saying if somebody's deaf, how are you meant to tell them there's a fire in the office?
Well,
obviously, you scream and you run the other way. Because in my experience, first out, safest, run.
What I'm trying to highlight is, deaf isn't a voluntary thing, but putting magnets in your mouth to close your mouth shut, that is.
I don't think they're magnets. Are they magnets?
Hold on, it says on the article that it's magnetic.
Okay, maybe it's magnetic. What are you going to do?
Just looking at the picture.
So, for example, if you do lose your key, then you've just got to repolarize it so that they're alternate polar, they're polar opposite magnets. And then could you imagine, you know how like magnets sometimes push away from each other? You just basically break your jaw open.
But at least you could eat.
Yeah.
I don't, because you can't close it again. You're like, oh, no, you can't never get purchase on your meat.
Fact that I know, which is scientifically proven. It's not fact, but it's scientifically proven. Obese people don't chew.
I 100% go with that, mate.
This is
true, by the way. I remember reading an article where it said, in order for you to become fuller, more content sooner after eating, you should chew your food between 25 and 35 times. I can finish a dinner in 34 chews. I'm not going to sit. This is the thing, like, I've not got time because it has to get in me.
Mate, you think like I think, because as soon as you said that, I thought, I've eaten a steak in less than 35 chews.
I've eaten a family bucket of KFC in less than 35 bites. I've sucked the marrow out of the bones. Don't be telling me how many times I got to chew.
I sometimes just shove it up my ass just to cut out the middle, man.
I like one of the tweets here, and one of the guys wrote, not to be gross here, but if someone vomits while wearing this, they will choke to death on or asphyxiate. You're like,
yeah, but hold on. Let's be honest about this. What are they gonna vomit on? The glass of water that they've managed to drink during the course of that day.
I mean, like, anyone could get sickness from a load of things. Maybe you had like a dodgy bit of shellfish when you were allowed to eat, and all of a sudden you're chucking your guts up, and it's basically blocked at the.
You'd be very unfortunate to literally eat some shellfish the day before you put these magnets in your mouth and then throw up from them.
I have a less dangerous and probably cheaper way of not being obese. Just self-control. You don't have to put magnets in your mouth. You don't have to have anything wide shut. You don't have to have surgery.
Yeah, but just Ben, me and you have been trying that for years, mate.
I'll say this until I have my very first stroke. There's always tomorrow to get fit. Always.
Absolutely brilliant. Do you know what? I had a look the other day at the heart attack success rates because I was interested in what I've got to look forward to. I was like, oh, that's all right. 3 in 4 people actually live after a heart attack now. I've got a 75% chance. I'm okay. As I was throwing down my second kebab of the day.
But you walked there, so you burn calories.
Yeah. I did walk there, but I rolled back.
All right, Alan, would you trial this? Would you go for it if you were obese?
No, I don't think this is a thing for anyone, really. I mean, they do say here it's not really meant to, like, sort of aid with weight loss. It's like if you can't have anything to eat before you go in for surgery, say the 24 hours before you go in for surgery, that's where you'd use it. I still don't think it's a thing. I'm like, nah. We've come beyond that, surely. We've come beyond that.
You'd think we have, but I think this is Jen. I don't think this is a joke.
I'm ordering it, boys.
Let us know you get on next week when you're like, yeah.
Trying to record a podcast, and then I've got to get a locking wheel nut key out just to say a joke.
All the cutlery stuck to your head, and all the keys.
That'd be so good. You get on an airplane and you're just next to the window like
that. Would have been setting off metal detectors
everywhere.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Well, I'm glad we've made light of it. I wonder if there are many, you know, takers for this. I wonder if many people will go, yeah, do you know what? I quite fancy losing weight by locking my jaw shut.
But it needs to be given a catchy name, like magnet mouth or
dentist slim.
Oh, all right. I'll take back what I just said. Dentist slim's grand.
Yeah, I like that. I like dentist slim. There we go.
I think that's
good. Well, there we go then, boys. That was story number one of this week.
Love it.
Love it, and I'm hungry. Thank you very much. I mean, it's harrowing that exists, but thank you.
No problem. Alan, you bring the car park, I'll supply the spreadsheet.
Oh,
oh, nice callback.
Do
Now, to be fair, this story is taking it back to Supermarket Haven. Woman blasts annoying Aldi customers who pack their shopping at the till. It's one of the most popular supermarkets in the UK, and it's easy to understand Aldi's appeal. The German chain is renowned for its reasonable prices and speedy checkout operations. The supermarket's focus on speedy service is often discussed, with some loving the ruthlessness, while others admit defeat as their shopping flies towards them. On Twitter, one brutal shopper tweeted, "Maintaining eye contact with the Aldi man while he scans my groceries with insane speed, but I'm bagging them just as fast. He begins to sweat. I throw a yogurt in my bag like a grenade. A single tear rolls down my cheek. I've won." Another joke, air hockey and Aldi speed checkout bag packing should really have been included in the Olympics long ago. But a recent rant about an annoying shopper's packing at the till caused a storm on social media. Hundreds of people in Aldi's UK shopping group, which has got 170,000 members, on Twitter, can you imagine 170,000? Anyways, waded in to share their thoughts. The woman wrote, "Why do people that use Aldi not understand that you don't pack a trolley full of your food into your bags at the till? That's the whole point. Annoying, very annoying, but many disagree. I open the question, boys. Aldi, at the till, what do you do?"
I am. So I don't shop at Aldi regularly, not at all, because as everyone knows, I am a lazy fat bastard. So I get my shopping delivered, and Aldi do not do that. Oh, they do, however, just to interject very slightly, they do a mystery case where for 50 quid, they will send you 12 bottles consisting of wine, champagne and spirits. They don't do it all the time. Yeah, so I don't really shop there. But I also know the premise of when you go to Aldi, they have such a tiny area where you have to pack everything. So everybody knows that you just have to throw it back in your trolley. And then at the back of the store, they have such a large area where there are boxes and shelves where you can go and then pack your stuff. So I don't understand why people think, "Oh yeah, do you know what? I'm going to pack here," because the Aldi checkout people, as we all know, are rapid. So they just bing, bing, bing. So why try and race them and try and pack things just to save yourself no time at all? You may as well just put it back in your trolley, go over, and then pack it when you know properly somewhere. I'm sure that if I was to pack everything at the speed that the Aldi checkout person throws it at me, when I get home, I would have no eggs left. And my bread would be like wraps, to be honest.
So I agree and disagree. Now, I don't know if you remember when Aldi first came on the scene years ago. If you shopped there, then you were a bit of a stig. I've always liked Aldi. And when they first came on the scene, they didn't have scanners. Everything was input on a key, like a keypad. So what they had to do was memorize the prices. That's why it's always been paid well, like a very well paid job. They had to memorize the prices and put it on the keypad. And that shit was insane. But they also used to talk to you at the same time. And that level of multitasking to a man just makes me so uncomfortable. But now they've got the scanners. There's no point. Don't try. It's like trying to ski uphill. Just get through the experience with less embarrassment as you can. Let them throw the stuff through, get in your trolley, go back, regroup at the packing station, and then live to the fight of the day. This person who's getting a little bit heated about people packing the till, go fuck yourself. it's anyone's choice. If they want to do that, that's cool. But if they want to also just get through that horrid, very tense experience of having your shopping launched at you, very cheaply, but launched at you, it's a human's choice.
I agree with what you're saying there. It is choice. People now take to social media so quickly for anything, and they share their opinion when, to be honest, maybe what they should do is keep the fucking nose out of it. And I think that if somebody is struggling to pack what can only be described as the rate of Lewis Hamilton going down a straight at Silverstone, that's absolutely their choice. You know, you're right. You know, do you know what you need to do next, mate? You need to go and fucking count some sand, you prick. Like that, but that's their choice. That is their choice. Everybody knows What you should do is you should use the packing area. But if you're not going to, me personally, if someone was in front of me trying to pack, I'd just be videoing them. And at the time that I'm videoing them, I'd be going, go on, mate. Go on, you can do it. Trying to, you know, edge them on. I don't think I'd be discouraging them in any way, shape or form. It's not going to affect my day. I'm still going to get my shopping checked out just as quick.
I'm still going to get a large fresh chicken for £1.50 and a scuba tank for £8. So take your time. Pack at the end. Pack my stuff. I don't care.
Exactly right. I'm going to get a shopping full of produce for £33.22. So
I must admit, I go in for the speed pack. I am that guy. Really? Yeah, 100%, mate.
So, Alan, here's a question. Do you do that because you see it as a challenge, or do you do that because you're an efficient person?
I'd like to think it's a bit of both, but mainly it's based. I want to try and beat the guy. I want to try and match him, because as he's throwing it in, and I'll get home and my wife's looking at this packing after I've been to Aldi. She's like, "You've got shit at the bottom that is soft, that has been squashed to shit.
You got the bleach like, with what? The ham."
Mate, honestly, like it's all ruined. It's all ruined, but I've done it, right? I've done it. I've got like a bit of yogurt at the bottom of the bag. It's fine. It's loose now. I call it loose yogurt. Who needs plastic?
Just can I have a yogurt and you're just getting a spoon inside the carrier bag?
Yeah. Just dollop it in, mate. Dollop it in. Don't worry about it.
What flavors? This? This is these six flavors mixed together, bab.
bag for life.
We call it tropical.
Alan wouldn't. Hold on. Oh, Ben. Alan would not pay for a bag for life. He uses the paper ones.
Have you got any empty boxes at the back so I can pack my shopping, please? You know, apart from, and I totally agree with what you said, Don, about people are so super quick to get on sock med and complain or voice their opinions about stuff. But also, I find that some cashiers, some people in these places are a little bit judgmental. So I go to Little and Aldi to top up, you know, booze and rich meats, you know, to satay my gout. And every time I get in there, whether it's a Saturday, a Tuesday, whatever, I'm packing my trolley quickly, obviously. And whoever's on the cashier desk goes, "Ooh, having a party tonight?" No. I always eat legs of serrano ham and drink meat. Just chill out. "Ooh, having people around today?" Stop. You don't have to talk to me. Just fling my shopping at me. Ask me for the 30 quid and we're done. This transaction doesn't need any monologue.
You get so comfortable when people in customer services talk to you in any way, shape or form, don't you? You hate it so much.
Do you know what I've realised about myself is that I'm never, ever prepared for people to have those interactions with me. So when someone goes, "How's your day?" And I go, what? Fuck off. And that's it.
I am surprised that we are friends, because I am the complete and utter opposite. Like, if somebody in customer services does not start talking to me, mate, we're best friends texting each other by the end of the transaction. I'm like, this is a challenge for me.
Used to be very outgoing and gregarious, and I don't consider myself to be unfriendly, but I can't deal with pointless conversation. And I know people want to be nice. You know, when a lot of people are like, "Morning," I'm like, "Don't know you. It probably is morning. Got half a trouser on. Cool, man." And he's like, and then the person's like, "Son." I'm like, "Oh, Dad, shit, I'm so sorry. Morning, Dad." Sorry, Chad.
Don't you see, that's why Lidl's brilliant, because they're just trying to get through that process. They're speed packing just so they don't have to small talk. Sorry.
I thought we were talking about Audi. You have literally shoehorned Lidl in for that.
I have.
Done there, a bit of supermarket racism.
I catch you now. I catch
They're both
you
very different things, and you're like, Lidl, Audi, both look the same to me.
Yeah.
Well,
no, they pretty much are the same thing, though.
Disagree.
Okay, right.
Sorry, Lidl is to Audi what Asda is to Tesco.
Yes, massive. Massive difference.
Guess what's getting cut out of that episode? Back to the story in hand. Either person is wrong or right. Actually, the person he moaned about on social media sounds like a bit of a strap on. So just let people do what they do. As long as they're fully dressed and they're paying, get over it.
I am, honestly, I'll be honest here. I am sick and tired of people moaning on social media about what other people do. Like, fucking hell, man. Since when did it become your business? I was born in the 80s. So let's just take the 90s and the maybe the early noughties. Yeah, if somebody had have come round to my house and moaned at my dad or myself or my mum or any of my family for what they had done that day, they would have ended up being walking away without a limb, without a shadow of a doubt. But people now feel that it is their God-given right to butt in and say whatever the fuck they want, no matter how much it might hurt somebody, no matter how much of a bad day the other person is having, no matter what's going on in anyone's life, they just go, yep, I can do that because there are no consequences. There are no consequences to what I will say.
Dan, I wholeheartedly agree with you, and very much the same upbringing as well, and the same circumstances. When I had a conversation with my dad years and years ago, and he was talking about like how he doesn't have Facebook, he doesn't have any kind of social media presence, and he said, I don't ever understand why these people go online and say things, because if it's not worth saying to someone's face, why would you post it online? And I said, because that's the point, isn't it? It's a faceless, almost ghosting of somebody where you can, I could go online and call Alan a twat because he likes one thing, but I wouldn't go up to him out of the blue. Can you imagine how random and strange that would be if you walked up to a stranger and gone, I don't like your trainers. They were made by kids in China. You'd be like, what's going on? But people do online all the time because they feel empowered because they know there's no repercussions.
Yeah. Speaking of what people do online, there's some tweets here.
Fucking hell, man. That was a beautiful segue.
So, yeah, we all know about, like, Aldi and how brilliant it is. I think it's a great supermarket, to be honest with you. There's a few tweets here that only people who shop at Aldi understand. Going to Aldi for some bread, coming home with a two-man tent and a chainsaw. Love the bit vile.
Fantastic.
Just no need for how fast they scan your shit at Aldi. Stop firing cocktail sausages at me, Janice. Calm the fuck down. It's all fun and games until you forgot to bring your bags.
Any, do you know what the worst thing is? I say this with no hyperbole intended or hyperbole, Alan. There's nothing worse.
That is, sorry, hold on. I just need a minute for that. That is such a good in joke.
There is nothing worse in life. Nothing worse in life than going into Aldi or Lidl, packing your basket with all the goods that one requires to satiate their gout, and getting to the till and having no bags, and you're not allowed to take your basket through. So you're like, I'm going to have to like juggle all of these bottles of horrible stunk back to my car.
they do now, though, don't they? They now sell bags.
Yeah, they do, but before it was like... By the tip.
Yeah, you'd but you want to see the markup on those boys. Oh, my goodness.
Before you would have to literally say, have you got any boxes, mate? Yeah, somebody, please. And it was going home with your shopping in a Frazzles box.
Not Frazzles. Fazzles.
Sorry. Yeah. Fazzles box.
Just, you know what? On the subject of Aldi and Lidl, do you know how Sainsbury's, Asda, et al. Are talking about how they're price matching Aldi and Lidl?
Yeah.
So for years they've been robbing people blind. they could charge cheaper, but all of a sudden they're like, yeah, we're gonna start playing ball now. Oh, so you're not gonna charge £5.50 for the same thing that Aldi do for £2 because it's Sainsbury's sound.
Do you ever watch that program where Greg Wallace goes around to people's houses and he eat well for less? That's the one. So Greg Wallace goes around to these people's houses like, oh, listen up, people. You're currently spending £75 a week on your shopping. And the fact of the matter is if you didn't buy Heinz brand or any other brand, you could at least be saving £3.50. And everyone's like, no. No, Greg.
Say it isn't so, Greg.
I love it. I love it when they come out with... All of these changes, stripping out everything that this family loves to eat, all of these changes would save them, on average, £198 over the course of 10 years.
Do you know what? I love seeing that bald tit on MasterChef. So you've got these Michelin star.
I've not been on MasterChef.
Pardon?
I've not been on MasterChef.
I'm talking about Greg Wallace, the... Tennis. He's like, you've got these wonderfully talented chefs, these nuanced, like, gastro geniuses. And they're giving their tuppence worth about what they should be doing. And Greg's like, oh, you don't cut a fish like that. No, you don't cut a fish like that, you dick piece, because you're a greengrocer. You're not a chef. So take your nonsense and piss off.
I 100% agree with you, Ben. I see that when they've got chefs on there, even that Jonta Rhodes, I don't really like him either, but at least he's a fucking chef and quite a good one. But when they're giving some food out, and sometimes Greg Wallace goes, for me, you put a little bit too much rosemary in that. And I'm like, mate, you need to fucking sort your teeth out for a start. Yeah. You
bull say, that's the only thing he knows. Because he's never going to turn around and tell him how to cook properly, because he doesn't know anything. Oh, you've put a bit too much plant.
What's that herb you've used? What's that herb? Yeah, that's too much of that.
You wanker. We've covered some ground in this story, Al.
We have. But I think that's the legs of Aldi, you know. Any? Cheap, cheerful, with a middle aisle that sells a MIG welder. Who's not winning there?
With a terrifying German efficiency, which I dig 100%.
And at the checkout, you don't just get sort of speed and efficiency. You get a little bit of an activity. I don't see how this isn't a winning situation.
I am pro Aldi, pro Lidl, anti sharing your opinions on every little thing in your life on social media.
I agree. I am pro supermarkets and anti opinions.
But please don't talk to me at the checkout.
Is that our new t-shirt? Pro supermarkets, anti opinions.
We need to, honestly, I think we need to write these down and start bringing t-shirts out of these kind of things.
We've definitely already got two. We've got African Fear and Respect. Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. Don't be a dick's the one.
Right. Beautiful, Alan.
Thank you very much, boys. Appreciate that. In honor of Wimbledon, Ben, you bring the rackets. I'll bring the strawberries.
Thank you, Alan.
Tame and lovely.
Thank you, Alan. But it's relevant and topical. I like it. Hansen to sell their own beer called, unbelievably, Hop. It sounds like a joke, but it's true. Pop rock boy band, which I've got an issue with that description in anyway. Hansen, famous in the 90s for having long blonde hair and singing with high-pitched voices, are planning on making their own beer called Hop. You know, because of their classic and annoyingly very catchy pop ditty, Bop, which back in 1997 sold an astonishing 700,000 copies and held onto the number one spot for 3 straight weeks. Nothing about that sentence is astonishing. The floppy-haired popsters revealed their plans to brew their own IPA at a recent visit to the Oxford Union, where they told some of Britain's finest minds of their booze-based plans. We, of course, make records. They are fundamental to what we do. But we wanted to create a brand so that our fans have a greater experience, said drummer Zach Hansen. What is vital is that Hansen merchandise is quality and not made solely with the purpose of profit, he added. We have a board game. We've got a record player. We will even make dolls, lunchboxes, and toothbrushes. It's vital our fans have trust in everything Hansen do. In fact, we are soon going to be selling our own beer. I'm not even joking. It's called Hop. Before you chime in and verbally kick the snot out of this story, 2 issues. First one, name another Hansen record.
Yeah. Okay. This is what I was going to go down. Yeah.
Penny and Me. There's a song by Hansen which brought out like a couple of years later called Penny and Me.
Hold on, everybody. You Googled that. I can see you looking at your phone.
Oh, no. Yeah, I knew that anyway, but this is the Hop website.
Yeah, no, you didn't.
No, but I knew that because it goes, Penny and Me tonight, something like that.
I'll have to take your word for it. I didn't realise there was a second one. And my second point is, I don't know if I've ever shared this with you two, but what better platform to share it on than with you two and our 14 listeners? When they initially released their single in 1997, I was 14, and a hand grenade of pubescent emotion. And when I first saw the video, I was like, they're fit. 3 sisters.
You have shared
3 sisters. Have I? Yeah. Oh, okay. So that sound, I mistook them for 3 sisters. and was very enamored with them because they were multi-instrumentalists and they were very beautiful.
Basically, what you're trying to say is your first time you ever masturbated.
I would go further than that. Emotionally, the first time I was in love was with a woman or three women that were essentially three very young teenage dudes. And I still to this day, when the video comes on, I get a little bit of a tinkle downstairs.
That'll also be the last time that you're in love. The last time you're in love, you will also be in love with three teenage boys.
Okay, I was just going to say, I can see that they've got about 6 or 7 beers here. They have got like about 6 or 7 beers. The first one, obviously, Hops, 7.5% ABV. They've got something called Pink Moonlight, 7%. Inland Porter, 6.3%. They went light on that one. Tulsa Tea, 9%. Redland Amber Ale, 6%. That's their lightest. And obviously a Festival Ale at 6.5%. So Hanson aren't messing about.
Hold on, right? I fucking hate their music. Well, I say they hate their music. I don't know whether I hate their music. I'm not particularly a fan of their one song. But, like, I could get on board with those beers. You know me. You know, strength is key, mate. Strength is key.
Your songs are shit, but your ale gets me hallucinating to keep bringing on those strike ABV.
Do you think
I just fucking? Yeah, I didn't even say English then.
You're right, mate.
I just went.
You're okay. you've started salivating since Alan said something over 7%.
I would have a devil's four-way with them now, even knowing they're males. But if they're knocking out 9% IPA, sign me up. I'll keep the gout.
I 100% think we need to buy those beers. I mean, the problem is they're in America, aren't they? Do you reckon buy them over here?
They're strictly to America at the moment for distribution.
Americans can't handle 9% IPA. As a quick question, you can't transmit gout, can you? Just asking, loosely, if I were to make love to someone or three people, can you transmit gout?
Have you been playing finger or toe?
No, I'm just thinking about if I ever am backstage with Hanson.
I don't know. I don't know whether it's sexually transmitted. I know that the AIDS that you have is. Mate, you just literally had rosé wine come out of your nose then.
So, any more takers on this nonsense? I'll tell you what, before you do say anything, if it was any other band that had released any other single that I could name, I'd be like, fair one. You're broaching into different waters. I totally get that. But a band that was relevant 24 years ago for being very sexually confusing to me and making a song that is very, very annoying, which didn't even sell that many copies.
I mean, the fact that they're riding on the coattails of the song, I like that they used it for their hops, but I would have brought it out later in part of a business term. I would have said, you know what? In 4 years' time, I'm releasing hops. That's just happening. But to name your entire brewing corporation hop, oh no. Or your flagship beer, hops. It's just a bit cringe. It's just like, oh, we're still holding on to it. We're still trying to, no.
I'm just thinking of any more one-hit wonders that could release their own drinks.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Saturday night, Wickfield, could you do something?
Saturday night Sambucas.
Any? What about the Venga Boys weren't one night.
Oh yeah, yeah. Rick Astley, never gonna give you hop,
but I'm gonna get you fucked. Hoppy is 14%. You're gonna be what paraplegic. About
Chesney Hawks. I am the hop and only.
Oh yes, Brendan. That is beautiful.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's my story, which was a journey through prepubescent confusion and ultimately accepting that I'd make love to three men. Wasn't even about the story, it was just about me opening up to you two.
I'm glad we laughed.
Thank you very much, Mr. Slag Hooter. Welcome. Welcome to the Bend On Championship. This week, we have things you'd buy in an American supermarket.
I don't know the American. 7-Eleven.
Yeah, all right, if you like. Or Walmart.
An assault rifle.
We're gonna just
are these all going to be guns and Magnum? No,
so we're just going to stick to grocery items today. What we have is I've got the list of the top 10 selling grocery items in an American supermarket.
Right.
What you've got to do is go in turn to try and name all 10. You get 5 chances each. Last week, I think Brendan went first because Ben, you had got the points. So this week, Ben, you go first.
I got that last week.
I'll give you some time to write some things down. And then we'll go for it. First up, Ben, item that is most sold in US supermarkets. Go.
Ice cream
is not on the list.
Oh, mate, I'd have thought there would. A gallon of ice cream.
Ooh. Brendan.
Yeah, I'm going to go with potato chips.
Yes, number 3, potato chips. Brendan has one. Ben.
Donuts.
You're going out there, boss. It's not donuts. Everyday items. Come on.
I said
they're just everyday items.
Yeah, and
You're going out there. These are supermarkets.
It's Americans, though.
Yeah, it's gone.
Brendan.
Squeezy cheese.
I can't accept squeezy cheese.
Oh, so fucking cheese then, isn't it?
Alan, look at the fun.
Canned cheese.
Can't accept squeezy.
Milk.
Yes, milk is at number 2.
2% milk. I was going to say 2% milk. They always go on about that, don't they? Orange juice.
No. So this is your 4th, Ben.
Soda.
Yes, Ben. Number 1, soda.
Okay, cereal.
Number 6, Brendan. At the end of 5 goes apiece, you're tied up.
I've not had 5 goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had 4 goes each.
So after 4 goes, it's tied up. Carry on.
Fucking hold on, everybody. Maths teacher.
Beer.
Number 9. Last go for Brendan.
Cookie dough.
Cookies come in at number 14.
Oh, do you know what? Like, cookies came in at number 14, but not cookie dough.
No cookie dough.
Oh, so bastard.
After 5 goes apiece, our winner for this week is Mr. Benjamin Slaughter.
Well done, Ben. I think I'm going to say this. I think it's dark, the fact that I said squeezy cheese, and although cheese was on there, you said no.
It's very specific. It's block cheese.
Right. No, it wasn't.
So, can I just say as well? Cheese. I think you were very clear about the rules, Alan. I do get that. But when I started writing my list, can I just tell you the things that I also had written down that weren't included?
Purely
because you used the term American.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay. So when you go to America, you see these things in the supermarkets. I had jerky, Slim Jims, pizza, cookie dough, candy, and cookies.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, all right of those.
Armor-piercing ammunition.
I had popcorn, waffle mix, fried chicken, pizza rolls, mac and cheese, and maple syrup.
To be fair, they sell those in the pharmacies.
They are all. When you watch an American show, that is everything that they put in a fucking trolley, mate.
Hey, I need some mouth magnets because I am starving.
The overall score for the series is 2-1 to Ben. Next week is a next time for a next chance to be next in line for the next opportunity of success and global domination.
Smooth.
Next.
Alan, I'm loving these top 10 things. They are truly.
Yeah, in my opinion, the top 10s are the best. Without a shadow of a doubt. Like having to guess random things is the best way, rather than having to try and work out an answer.
Let's wrap it up.
Yeah, like, man.
Both your dads should have done.
I don't think they'd invented condoms in them days, had they? Thank you all for listening. We were Brendan.
Alan.
Ben.
Alan. On Why Did They Do That? I have such fun doing these, boys. If you have any stories that you find interesting, please let us know. You can get in contact via social media or smoke signals or Royal Mail. They send us letters with your name and address. Pop round. Pop into the pub. Have a conversation with me. Fine.
Any go and shout a story in Brendan's face at his workplace.
That's it. Go to a gout foundation clinic. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did making it. Please subscribe or follow the podcast if you want. If you don't, I'm not bothered because we're just going to carry on having fun.